Years ago, I was leading a group of people through the RCIA process on their way to becoming Catholic. And toward the end of that process, a Baptist woman said to me, "You know, I don't really see much difference between what the Catholic Church teaches and what the Baptist Church teaches, except for one thing. You Catholics talk a lot about sin, and we don't." She said, "For Baptists, there's only one sin, and that's lack of faith, and for that you would go to hell. But other than that, we don't really talk much about sin." So I think she's right, but why is it that Catholics talk about sin? We talk about mortal sin and venial sin. We talk about virtue and vice. And I think we're following in the words of St. Paul that you have to somehow live what you believe. The presumption is that you are being transformed into Christ, and so you would not only speak the truth, but you would live the truth too. Good trees bear good fruit, and bad trees bear bad fruit. You'll know them by their fruits, Paul says. You also know by what comes out of a person's mouth what is in their heart. And so there is, in the Catholic understanding, always a certain tenuous situation where we're not completely certain that we have it all together. There's a kind of a vulnerability that is almost celebrated and honored, a vulnerability about my immortal soul, about my my process of transformation that's going on in me. And so I'm constantly evaluating that. And we're coming up on Lent, which starts on Wednesday. And Lent is that annual period where we look into that a little more deeply than usual, that self-evaluation, to find the beam in my own eye, you might say, to recognize my guilt, my faults, to own that, and to allow myself to be transformed out of that. For evangelicals, there is a phrase, "Are you saved?" And when someone asks a Catholic that, they don't know how to answer because we don't think of ourselves as saved. But a Baptist will often know the day and the hour when they accepted Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior, and they knew, have known from then on that they are saved. And Catholics don't know that. We don't know how to answer that question because we always kind of celebrate that tenuousness, the fact that I could still lose my soul if I don't act rightly. That certainty is something I think that humans desire. And the evangelical way of celebrating that certainty is, I'm saved because I've accepted Jesus as my personal Lord and Savior, done deal. Catholics play a little different game. We have the 9 First Fridays, you know, where we are guaranteed a priest at our bedside when we die if we've made those 9 consecutive First Fridays. But we also know that that isn't true. We know that there are no guarantees. We know that everything depends on God, that it's all about mercy. It's not so much about our self-perfection. And yet at the same time, God wants us to be growing. God is merciful endlessly, and so God accepts us where we are and who we are at any given moment. He accepts us and loves us unreservedly. But he wants us to be more than we were yesterday. He wants us to be growing into him. And so Paul, again, describes that as being in Christ. St. Paul says, it's no longer I who live, but Christ living in me. So I'm so dynamically joined to him that I become like him. And in the gospel today, no student gets better than the master, but after they're fully formed, they get to be very much like the master. And so that's what we're growing into, is to become more and more like Christ. And there's something in us that wants to reach a certain plateau and then coast for the rest of our lives. I've got that achieved. I did what I was supposed to do. Now I can coast. But we all know that there is no coasting in our spiritual life. You're either going forward or you're sliding back. And we have a saying for that, don't we? We call it backsliding. You're either going forward or you're backsliding. There is no plateau. And so one of the things that keeps us coming back to the Eucharist over and over again is because we celebrate something here that's very central to this thing I'm talking about. And that is, we celebrate dying. Every initiation process says that you have to die before you die. You have to die to sin. You have to die to that old life. You have to die to certainty. You have to die to control. You have to make yourself vulnerable. You have to put yourself out there where you are just at the mercy of God. And when God took on human flesh in Jesus, he showed us what that looks like in a human body. Laying down his life for his friends. Making himself vulnerable to the Roman authorities, vulnerable to the chief priests, vulnerable to the scribes and Pharisees, and eventually unjustly killed. And we celebrate the memorial of that historical event every time we celebrate the Mass. And we are invited into a sharing in that. We're invited to lay down our lives on the altar along with Christ, to practice dying before we die. Making ourselves vulnerable, making ourselves available. Because vulnerable people get transformed. And people who never know vulnerability, people who never know death, who never know failure, don't get transformed. This isn't a success story. This isn't climbing the ladder of spiritual success. That isn't achieving a certain level. It's just about being out there. It's just about being in Christ and discovering every day what that means. And sometimes it's joyful and uplifting, and sometimes it's kind of hard. But it's who we are. We are those who belong to Christ. We are those who have died with him in baptism. You see, we knew death a long time ago. And every time we sign ourselves in that font, it's a reminder that we know what death is. And we know that there's something beyond death. And that's what that second reading from St. Paul's letter to the Corinthians is all about. We believe that death has no power over us because we've already done it. We've been there. We've done that. We did death. So death's sting no longer can touch us because we are living the risen life now. And so we practice that ritually every Sunday so that eventually, over time, we get transformed into that. And yes, it shows itself in certain moral behavior. It shows itself in the virtuous lives that we live. It shows itself in our generosity to the poor, in our concern for one another, in our love of God's people and love of God's world. It shows in 100 different ways. But it's really all about this resurrected life that we are living now, because we have been willing to die with Christ.